You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Wednesday the 23rd of May. Plenty of top racing to come on Wednesday. We're at Ayr, Warwick, Yarmouth, Wexford, Sutherland, Kempton, all live on Racing Radio from 1:50. It'll be with Darren Owen. He's joined in the studio by John O'Connell and the owner, Mayor. So make sure you join them then, online or on the app. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Craig Forsyth. Hello, Craig, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, John. Very well indeed.
Good, good to have you with us here in the studio. And we're going to start off by taking a look at two races coming up on Wednesday before taking a look a little further ahead to the Epsom Derby, of course. Breakfast with the Stars having taken place this morning as we record this on Tuesday. But first up, we'll take a look at Wednesday. And Craig, I understand both your selections run at Ayr.
They do indeed, John. Yeah, no surprises for me sticking to racing in the north. And the first of those runs in the 3:35. I think we have to stick with an informed horse here. Hell of a plan for Brian Smart, who won well at Thirsk last time over the mile. He's a horse that, you know, really does bounce off fast ground. I think it's very important to him. He's turned up quickly under the £6 penalty 4 days on. And Club Wexford, who was behind him on that occasion and probably travelled the stronger of the two in the Thirsk race, you know, takes him on again on £6 better terms. But only second start for Roger Fell is Club Wexford, but it was slightly disappointing the way he failed to pick up in the latter stages of that Thirsk contest. I do think there's more to come from him, and I definitely think he'll be winning races for his new yard, despite, you know, getting on at the age of seven. But I think in this race, it's definitely going to pay to stick with an informed horse running with a £6 penalty, and Hell of a Plan's going to be very difficult to beat. Zeshoff is probably one that should make the shortlist. I was with this horse at Thirsk last time, but all four of his wins, John, have come at class 5 level or below. So he may just be punching one grade above his weight once again here. You know, when he does drop, he'll be of interest in the future. Alcan, you know, he's had a couple of confidence boosters in recent times. He won a Seller and a Claimer. He steps back at the handicap company of 69. He's not badly treated off that mark, but he just needs to slightly improve on or the level he's been at of late in lesser races to feature here. So, Hell of a Plan. Looks a good bit of place and a good opportunity 4 days on from his Thirsk success.
Hell of a Plan carrying a £6 penalty for trainer Brian Smart. Graham Lee taking the ride once again, just as at Thirsk 4 days ago. The selection of Craig Forsyth at 3:35. And I understand your other selection, Craig, that runs in the 5:05.
Yeah, 10 furlong handicap, John. And there's a horse here of definite interest, Thorntoon Care, who runs 17 days on since a wind operation. You know, it's a quick turnaround, but he was a big eye catcher on his return to action at Hamilton. He was very, very keen in the early stages of the race, fresh after a break, you know, pulled too hard, but he moved into contention well. And Jamie Gormley, you know, I think he kind of run away with him a little bit in the early stages of the race. Harrison Shaw comes in for the ride on Wednesday. I think he's a very, very well handicapped horse off a mark of 69. You know, I think he's definitely the pick of the weights. There should be a good pace on here. You know, and the horses that are of interest away from the selection, Fire Leopard, and remember, the days have got wide draws to overcome. So there's a lot in his favour on Wednesday. So very, very keen on the chances of Thorntoon Care for Ian Jardine.
Funnily enough, I was taking a look at this race last night, Craig, and I was also drawn to this horse, Thornton Care. I see in the betting forecast that got in front of me, 7-1. I can't believe he's going to be that price.
John, we shouldn't be giving too much away recording this at, you know, 1:30 the day before, but I'd be delighted if I seen those odds.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he looks to have an obvious chance. Obviously, the in-form horse, the mare of Richard Farr, he needs a really strong pace. I mean, she got up on the final strides of Beverly last time. Mm. Although there's one or two front runners in it, I don't think this race will be run anywhere near as strong as the Beverly Heat was, and on a sharper track as well. She just may struggle over the 10 round this sharper circuit. So, yeah, you know, a lot in his favour, you would imagine, with that run under his belt. Thornton Care will be ridden handily and hopefully well placed to strike.
Thornton Care then for Craig Forsyth in that 5:05 at Ayr on Wednesday. And we'll move our attention now, Craig, from the action at Ayr on Wednesday to, it's fair to say, racing of a slightly higher calibre in terms of the Investec Derby, which comes up a week on Saturday. And, well, it's the race that needs no introduction, of course. We had Breakfast with the Stars as we record this morning on Tuesday. We had Roaring Lion as of John Gosden's is going to be going to the race having a won the Dante last time out. They were talking about the French Derby potentially, but he's going to go for the Epsom version instead. But Saxon Warrior, odds on for this as he goes on the second leg of a potential Triple Crown bid.
Yeah, he's, you know, made a high class reappearance, didn't he, when he won the Guineas at Newmarket. You know, the vibes, you know, looking at the quotes in the lead up to that race from the O'Brien team were that, you know, this was a horse that over the winter had done particularly well in terms of, you know, growing and filling out. And I just got the impression that they felt that he may just improve for the outing in the Guineas, John. But the way he went through the race, you know, was a joy to watch. And, you know, he proved far too good for his rivals. And you have to think, well, that run under his belt, he's only going to get better and improve. A, you know, on the fitness side, he's going to be a lot sharper next time. And B, for the step up and trip.
Mm.
You know, I think he's bred to relish middle distances as a three-year-old, and despite very cramped odds, 8-11 at this moment in time, you know, he's definitely the one they all have to beat.
You mentioned the pedigree. I mean, by Deep Impact out of a Galileo mare, I mean, it just screams that he's going to improve for the extra yardage.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, he's proven in terms of the ground as well, you know, keeping an eye on the weather, good ground, slow ground. So yeah, no problems. And as you say, John, a mile and a half, you know, has to really bring up more improvement from Saxon Warrior. And you know, looking at Roaring Lion, who, you know, was very impressive in the Dante, I just didn't like his demeanour. I was there in the paddock, he looked like he was going to be keen the way he went round the parade ring. He did go to post really well, you know, and he relaxed going to post, but in the paddock he looked really buzzy on his toes. And you know, despite him seeing out the mile and a quarter well, I still have my doubts of whether he will see out a mile and a half. And the time for the Dante was, you know, nothing spectacular. Coronet's time was, you know, over the same course and distance was much the quickest of the two. So, yeah, I wouldn't be at all keen on Roaring Lion.
And Roaring Lion was just wandering off a true path a bit in the closing stages there, wasn't he? You wouldn't want to do that at Epsom.
Certainly not. I mean, in terms of his physique, he isn't the biggest horse. You know, he's a good size. And I would imagine he'd be relatively well balanced. And I don't think he'll have too many problems coming down the downs at Epsom, to be honest. You know, just given the way he moves and having seen him. But, you know, you need to you need to handle the track, but, you know, in terms of concerns over that, I think he'll be fine. I do. I think he'll be absolutely fine.
He's 7-1 at time of recording of us here at William Hill. Craig, anything else to mention in the Derby field? Winners of trials such as Young Rascal, Hazapour, Night to Behold, all in the betting at slightly bigger prices.
Yeah, I do like Young Rascal. You know, he was very impressive when he won a maiden at Newbury on his reappearance. And then he stepped up on that when he won the Chester Vars, moving into Group 3 company. Big step from maiden company, you know, in one go to bridge. And he did it well. He beat DXB on that occasion. There's much more to come from Young Rascal. And he would be the each-way pick against Saxon Warrior for me at this stage.
Fantastic. Well, the Investec Derby comes up a week on Saturday. Of course, it will be live on Racing Radio, as with every single British race. And that includes all the action coming up at Wednesday. Join the guys in the studio from 1:50 p.m. We'll be back on the Daily Racing Podcast tomorrow for another edition. And Craig, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.